Hello, everybody. My name is Robin O'Neill. This is me reading stuff. I'm here for you. You're here for me. Things are wild. Things are upsetting. Things are pissing you off. Things are pissing me off. Some things make you feel sexual. Other things make you want to throw up all over everybody. But to quote Michael Silverblatt of KCRW's Bookworm, one of my biggest heroes, we must find our joy in the midst of all this sorrow. I think that's a noble cause. Hope you guys are doing well on this Thursday. I'm excited. I've got a big thing to do tomorrow. I get to go and see Roseanne being filmed at the studios in Studio City. That means I get to see all the cast members. As you may or may not know, I am a huge Roseanne fan. I am an enormous John Goodman fan. So I could not be more thrilled. I cannot wait. It's a dream come true. I'm going to Lanford, as my friend Tommy said. Thank you, Tommy, so much. Tommy made this happen for us. So really, really, we're all very excited. How am I doing other than that, you ask? I would say my mental health right now, if I were to say, you know, scale it from 1 to 10, 10 being the best, 1 being the worst, I'll be honest with you, 9.23. That's right. That's as high as I've ever said on this show, which has been going on now for 2.5 years. So fuck me, right? That's pretty great. Energy level, 1 out of 10. I am real low energy. I don't know what the hell is wrong with me. For 2 weeks, I've been low energy. I would say I'm a 2 out of 10. So I would love someone to inject me with something. I don't know what you would inject me with, but Red Bull, no thank you. Don't drink that shit. You know, I can't do caffeine anymore. This is the problem, is I can't drink caffeine because of my stupid heart valve. So okay, so that's how I'm doing. Other things about me that I'd like to get out of the way. What else is going on? You know, I'm emotional. I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm highly emotional. And I don't mean I'm emotional right this second or today or this week. I just mean in general, I'm fully embracing the fact that I'm a very emotional, very sensitive being. Not sensitive like, oh, things piss me off all the time, just sensitive. Sensitive to everything around me, sensitive to people's attitudes around me. But I have never been afraid of anything I'm feeling either. So there you go. I am, I don't know. My family thinks I'm too sensitive, but I guess I like it about myself. Call me crazy. I really like feeling things. I do. I like the ups and downs of life just because it makes me feel like I'm alive. You know, it's pretty obvious. I've felt like it's what it feels like to feel like you're dying, and that's much worse. Trust your girl Robin on this one. I'm okay with being vulnerable too, as you all know. If you've listened to this program, I got no issues with that. I don't know if vulnerability and sensitivity and being highly emotional, I don't know if those are all on the same page or not, but they feel like it to me. They all run together. Back to dying, though. Back to all of this. You know what happened? This is so, I don't know if I'm vulnerable enough to actually tell this story because it's kind of disgusting, but I guess I was just bragging about being okay with being vulnerable, so I might as well do it. One time while I lived in Houston, I had to go to the proctologist. Now, I'm assuming you guys know what a proctologist is. Isn't there a Seinfeld episode about it? Most people know it in general. Anyway, this is a doctor of, well, the anus or the rectum, I guess. Oh, God. Anyway, so this guy was the best in his field in Houston. Houston has a great medical community. It rivals this one here in LA. And he was all right at making me feel comfortable, even though when you're at the proctologist, you have to sit in the most insane. Okay, well, let's say if you're a woman and you think the gynecologist chair is awful and embarrassing and makes you feel defenseless and terrified, trust me on this one, that ain't nothing compared to what you're dealing with when you're at the proctologist office. You will be running back to the gynecologist because that's a walk in the park compared to what you're doing. The position you have to be in at the proctologist office is, you can probably imagine, deliverance. It's absolutely humiliating. But anyway, back to business. So this guy, he's doing his thing. He's back there doing it, whatever he's doing. And he just out of nowhere. And remember, I'm not facing him. Okay. He's back there. I'm facing a wall or looking down, but I am on all fours. And he says to me, "Oh, look here. You came close to dying in utero." And I, being that we're not having a normal conversation since we're not looking at each other, I think I laughed and kind of questioned that. And he said something about the way something was structured back there in my lower spine, and I guess that area, the way I'm designed, apparently showed him, the doctor, that I almost died in utero. That he said, "You were very close to dying at one point." So when we're back face to face, I kind of showed doubt in my face, and he explained it further, and I had the language for it. This was about 10 years ago, so I don't have it anymore. It sounded very real, very convincing. Why the fuck am I telling you guys this? I don't remember why I was telling you this. Anyway, I called my parents on the way home, and we all celebrated the good news. Speaking of nothing, but moving on past that, I wonder if I'll delete all this. Today I'll be reading you W.H. Auden's Musée des Beaux-Arts. This is based on Peter Bruegel's The Fall of Icarus. I think it's actually called, I have it pulled up here. What is it? It's actually called Landscape with the Fall of Icarus. But it doesn't say this in the poem. Anyway, I'm going to start right in right now. One of my favorite poems and one of my favorite paintings of all time. Peter Bruegel is in my top 10 favorite artists of all time. So don't you worry, I'll put a link in the description of this podcast for you to look at the painting and where you can find this book, W.H. Auden's Collected Poems from Vintage 1991. It's a humongous book, like 1,000 pages thick. All right, here we go. "About suffering, they were never wrong, the old masters. How well they understood its human position. How it takes place while someone else is eating or opening a window or just walking dully along. How when the aged are reverently, passionately waiting for the miraculous birth, there always must be children who did not specifically want it to happen, skating on a pond at the edge of the wood. They never forgot that even the dreadful martyrdom must run its course. Anyhow, in a corner, some untidy spot where the dogs go on with their doggy life and the torturer's horse scratches its innocent behind on a tree. In Bruegel's Icarus, for instance, how everything turns away quite leisurely from the disaster. The plowman may have heard the splash, the forsaken cry, but for him it was not an important failure. The sun shone as it had to on the white legs disappearing into the green water, and the expensive, delicate ship that must have seen something amazing, a boy falling out of the sky, had somewhere to get to and sailed calmly on." Whew. All right. That was exciting. That was exciting to read something I've always wanted to read to you. I'd like to dedicate this entire podcast to my friend, the intimidatingly intelligent and also just deeply kind and interesting co-host of a really incredible podcast about David Foster Wallace called The Great Concavity. I'm talking about Mr. Matt Booker, but I'd also like to say a shout out to Dave Laird, who is the other co-host of that podcast. And Matt, you know why I'm dedicating this to you, so I just want to say thank you. You are the best. Dave, you are also incredible. All of you guys. And I was a guest on the podcast. I believe I was maybe the first guest on that podcast. And my art is a part of their logo and the header, or I guess their logo or their podcast cover. So I'll put a link also, you know, you can find it through my podcast. Let me write a little note right now. Podcast. Okay. A little housekeeping I need to take care of before I let you go. A lot of you were kind enough to order my book, Robin O'Neill, 20 Years of Drawing. And I thank you for that. Thank you for all your nice comments about that. I was wondering if I could encourage you perhaps to consider reviewing it on Amazon, please. It has just made it to Amazon and then it sold out and now there's more copies. It would really help my publisher and me out a whole lot if you could review it when you get a chance. And to those of you trying to order it through Amazon right now, the first page when you look it up says it's out of stock, but it's not. It's some weird glitch. So just look closely right next to the image. It says two new available, and you click on that, and then you go to a page where you see there's plenty of them. So I'm sorry about that. And you can always order it from the publisher, Archon. I'll put links to everything I'm mentioning in the show notes. So thank you for considering helping me out there. And as always, thank you for rating and reviewing this podcast on iTunes. You guys have somehow, even though it's just me doing this without knowing what I'm doing, I've been in the What's Hot section of iTunes for literature and poetry for 2 years, longer than 2 years now. So thank you. I love you guys so much. Now, as I close out, I want to say two things to you guys. Number one, watch your backs. You know what I'm talking about. Number three, there will be, is it three or two? How many did I say? Two, there will be mountains you won't move. That's Frank Ocean from Godspeed. Number three, if you stop being a people pleaser, people will stop being pleased. And five, get the fuck out of here. I'll talk to you guys soon. You're fantastic.